we include some reflection questions during the small time, and I'm really, really asking for your feedback. This is not just reflection, it's for our growth. Are they helpful? Did they divert you? Did they get you thinking about things you really should have been thinking about something else? You may not have even seen them if you didn't turn over your... But they're just really prompts, is all they're...
I kind of felt it was a prompt, and it just felt... I just underlined, like, on that first question, I just underlined longings, fears, joys, resistance, frustration, and then just tried to let the Spirit lead.
Okay, so it didn't feel like, oh, here's the work, the homework.
No.
Okay, it just felt like a problem.
When I first began to do silent reflection, I needed to have a framework because I was figuring out how to be in that time. I don't worry about having to use it now, but I think for developing your ability to feel comfortable in that silent space and really begin to reflect, it's kind of nice to have something to springboard from.
Okay, my heart goes that way, but let's say you really are a first child, and I am the first child, and so there's part of me that's pretty duty-bound, and I know God wants to free me from that. And anybody walk in and go, oh my goodness, there are questions to answer. Because that's okay. Okay, so it doesn't trip you that way. No questions.
No, but the first time that I had like a silent encounter type of thing, if you can call it that, I do think it helped me be aware of my body, because firstborn, duty bound, I'm going to make this happen, we're going to get something done. And then the prompting was, like, look at your body, see how, where you're tense, and not here,
but this was the same idea.
And I just remember that there was... It helps me go into silence now that I'm aware of my sitting like this and my,
Thank you, Justine. That's really good. And those are, there's so many great questions. One of the things that I've begun to do, and I think the other women have too, is just collect great questions. So I still use them sometimes when I'm really stuck. I just have a sort of a contemplative notebook, and in the back of it, every time I hear a great question, I just write it down. And so as I work with other women, or as I'm working with my own heart, they are sometimes good prompts, and we do need them. Even if we've sort of learned how to walk within our own heart, as David says.
And I've found, too, this is my second year coming on Friday mornings, and there are some mornings when I feel like my mind is just not sure where God is leading me, and so it's really nice to have some questions that every now and then I'll think, Lord, what are you saying? And then I'll read the questions, and I find that that's helpful to have just periodically.
Good. Yeah. So it's a take it or leave it, and sometimes it's helpful. Okay, in the little agenda I gave you, the next part is the process, and we're going to do that our second hour. We sort of...
Could you just briefly chat about just that page?
Oh,
of
yeah.
The agenda?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you, Mary. Our sense is it's fun to do the scriptures in different texts. If you are thinking you want to start a journeyman script and you're not... don't do a lot on the computer. Every translation I've ever heard of is online, and they're free for the taking, which is a gift. So we just go online to, I think it's
the Bible Gateway.
And you can't get Phillips there. I really like J.B. Phillips. But if you just put in J.B. Phillips translation, you can get him from another website. I don't know why he's not there. And there's you have to do the backspace and editing out the... all the dumb little marks that are in it. But they will all edit out. They're not PDFs. So you can, that way, save yourself the work of typing and proofing your own work. But, so let's do that. And then the back page, and since you brung it up, why don't you respond to it?
It's one of the things I like to think about in my own life is reentry syndrome. And when I lived overseas, and when you've lived overseas, you know when you come back to the United States and you end up in a grocery store and you're overwhelmed by all of the brand names, you don't have just one choice, right? Well, coming out of Journeymates is a certain reentry syndrome as well. And when I was younger and my children were really small, I didn't take the time to transition, and I would end up with a screaming headache just in trying to transition from this place to this other extreme. So with that, I would say give yourself that space, and we to re-enter the world, and as part of that re-entry, taking time to reflect on what has happened. So this is a means by which we encourage you to do that, by within 24 hours journaling your experience and your reflections on that experience. It also serves to encourage you in the next month to look back at those journals. So similar to what Becky was sharing with us yesterday, looking back to see what God has done and how far He's brought us in the month, and it's good preparation. Right. And then additionally, this year we've started encouraging a spiritual discipline to be practiced over the next month. And it's just a prompt, it's just an encouragement, it's not a to-do. So that's on the back page, and that's been received well.
Yeah.
And it's very helpful. I know we've used St. Patrick's breastplate, and we've used this, and what was the other one that we used this year?
Sitting outside, that was this month's. And you'll just pick the thing that I think one of the things that has really amazed me is how God just throws little gifts your way that you go, oh, that would, like the first month. Ruth sent me a quote about humility, and is it humus, the soil? That I thought, oh, that just goes on the back of the journey mate thing. I was doing the agenda that month. And so that was a prompt, and I think part of the gift of if God leads you to try to form a group in your area, or if you're already doing it, is it does wake you up. You want to see the things that come your way that are both for you and for someone else. One of my husband's favorite images of a generous life was from when we lived in Canada, and they, you know, irrigate the great big soybean and wheat fields, and you know, a lot of the plains area is just flat, and of course especially with wheat, it's never really, I mean, it is green, but not green, but the big irrigation dishes that would run across the big plains. And then they'd pump water from those to the big fields. But along the irrigation ditches was always the greenest, most perfect growth. That's my husband's favorite illustration, that when we begin to realize what God wants to pour through us, then out for the sake of others, that what ends up is that our lives are so enriched. So Ruth sends me a quote that I might have gone, oh, it was a really nice quote. But in the moment of learning to be more perceptive, more attentive, I'm able to receive it on a level, and then I go, oh, other women need this. So that's just the kickback, you know, in the best sense.
Well, and I do think there's a sense in putting something like this together that God enables that to happen, that He's in that. He was in the quote from Ruth, but then He was also in her sending it. He didn't just keep it with her, He sent it, and then Sally picks it up, and God, you don't want this just for us, this is something for all of us, and then it just goes out from there. So you know, that's the piece that it continues to astound me and bless me, is that the Lord is in this. And it's like that, it's like sitting down at your computer to write something and just nothing comes. But if you wait and trust, it'll come.
Right.
And we do a lot of waiting, don't we?
We do.
A lot of waiting in a good active sense.
Okay. And you know what? We've done the agenda, and I just realized you talked about not doing things right. I totally left off keeping silence together before, and our lectio and our teaching time. And I would...
We're okay.
Are we okay?
Okay.
You're going to cut yours back, yeah. So they'll just be two or two and a half sessions. But just forgive me. You can tell I didn't proofread this well. We have a guided silence, and Jennifer talked about that some yesterday with just issues of imagery. She did something really different today with the be still and know that I'm God. So let's just go there. We've done the agenda, now we're sort of into the morning. What happens in the guided silence time? Is your experience there? Does it bother, like I was really fine on my own, thank you very much? Or does it shift something inside of you?
Well, we suddenly are all doing the same thing together. Mm. Instead of, I mean, it, I think it sort of somehow unifies the group.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. Anybody else?
Instead of being a temple of one that is worshiping God, we become and build a temple together because of that link. And it's a, that's a safe place for Him.
Right.
And it sort of invokes a level of His presence and the freedom that He has to communicate with us, I think.
Right. One thing, it's just really simple. It gives me tools for when I'm alone. Things I never would have thought about. I didn't read in the book. Like the be still and know that I am God has become one of my middle of the night prayers. Mm-hmm. Just to do it just like Jennifer did it, you know. Mm-hmm. With the pausing and the reduction down to just being with God. And lots of those sort of things are in books. We have a book list to give you too. Where's the book list?
It's already in the packet.
Oh, it's in the packet. Okay. I didn't know that. But so the keeping silence together, a guided silence together, in a sense, does sort of bring us to that launching place of, yes, we are a community. We're not just here in the room alone and in our own silence, but we're a community together. Then we do a small teaching piece. And we're learning. First year, I would have said what we did was sort of spiritual homilies. And then what we shifted more to, oh, we really need to teach the core practices and the process and these disciplines that we engage in, which is what Lisa's going to talk about. So that's what we're sort of really been focused on the last 2 years. But then this summer, because doing this becomes such a place of discernment for us, we thought, you know, we're still just sort of teaching, like from my head to yours with some good illustrations. But how can we learn to model in our teaching what we're trying to do with our lives, mm-hmm. which is to teach more reflectively? Mm-hmm. So last month, Mary did this wonderful job with the two communities here in the Triangle of getting us to imagine a place where we have been attended to. We were somebody's focus. And of course, you know what that arouses. What? In some people, they have what? I said, do you imagine where you have been cared for, where you were just the heart of somebody else's attention? Some people have what?
Some people long for that who have not had that.
Right. And some people, it is a doorway to know what God is like because they've had it. But in both those things, what's being stirred up is a doorway to God. And so that, what she did was, I think, really, really powerful and beautiful. Wasn't emotional. You know, wasn't trying to work people up, but it was a way of giving us to sit with ourselves and to let God speak into our lives rather than just being told how to see something or what to do with it. Talk more about that later on if you want. If anybody wants to ask a question before we move on, we can.
Ron, Jennifer used I think I actually said something to this effect yesterday to somebody, but in her teaching on presence, she utilized St. Patrick's breastplate and had us experience God in the before, behind, mm-hmm. beside, above, below. And so she could talk about God's presence and even see God in the scripture, God's presence, but when she took us through that exercise, I felt God here on my back.
And which really caused me to notice, you know, mm-hmm. what is, and when she said within, it's like, do I sense God within? I sense him back here. Mm-hmm. it caused me to just sit with that mm-hmm. in a way that was so much more profound than just mm-hmm. thinking about God's presence, which I love to think about God's presence, but to really experience mm-hmm. God's presence. Right. And that is such more of a teaching. It's more of an experiential teaching.
Yeah, it is meant to be experiential. And it's sort of, I mean, my analogy so much about how I really learn is, you know, we went to childbirth classes, and I knew all about having a baby, and then I had a baby. And then I went to childbirth classes again, because I need to learn what to do when I was having a baby. And that, in a sense, the experience takes learning to a new level. Then we do Lectio, and I'll sort of pose to you a question that was posed to us 2 or 3 years ago. I really like what you're doing, this woman from another town, I like what you're doing in Journey Mates, but I don't think I can get my group to do 3 hours. We'll do 2 hours, so we'd like to leave out the Lectio part. And if you had been working with us on our leadership team, what sort of thoughts would have gone through your head?
I would have asked, well, how are you going to incorporate scripture then in your morning?
Okay, and why? Evidently that must be a value for you.
It is a value for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Speak the word of God. I mean, okay. What better thing to meditate on?
Mm-hmm. Okay. What better thing to meditate on?
And I think it's about learning to listen and learning to hear God speak. And mm-hmm. I think the Word of God is, you know, the primary way through which He speaks really clearly to us. And so it's utilizing that methodology, but then training us to really hear and listen in new ways that we haven't experienced in, you know, a different kind of a Bible study setting.
It's, right.
You know, listening with our heart, listening with our...
Okay.
Well, I think it would have been seeking after the experience without the seed.
Oh, wow. What a beautiful way to put it. Yeah. Because the Word of God is a seed that is meant to grow and to bear fruit. Wow. It's beautiful. Because I think in pictures, I think, yeah, if I just went over to Walmart and bought a lot of plants and went and stuck them in my backyard, plastic ones, mm-hmm. and I might get the look, but I would not mm-hmm. have the reality. And it's the Word of God that is able to save us, to heal us, to reorient us, to reshape us, to upfit us. But it needs to be received on all levels, and so that's why we're doing what we're doing. But if somebody said to us as leadership, well, is this all a person needs to do with God's Word? Is there a place for study? The answer is yes, there is absolutely a place for study. The Word of God is something we're meant to know deeply and well, with our heads, with our hearts, with our life. So we're not saying this is the only way to receive God's Word, but we're saying so often we miss it. But we're also saying by having the Lectio, I mean, it is really a centerpiece. Mm-hmm. It's not just mm-hmm. if there's time, you know.
If you don't have, if she took that out, then you couldn't do the rest of it, could you? What we did yesterday? How would we do our small group? How would we come back to the large group? What would, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you could.
Take that out.
Yeah, you could if your sort of orientation to the spiritual life is what, Terry?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think, what'd you say, Gail?
Just experience, individual experience.
If it was just individual experience, you'd go, that's what we're here to share, is our...
It's kind of more like a support group.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
It would be a different thing.
Yes.
It would
yes.
not be whatever name you give this thing.
Journey. Yeah, Journey.
Journey. Journey.
Yeah.
Companion, right?
Yeah, our companion.
Name.
Yeah, it's the same.
So, the Lectio thing is necessary.
Absolutely.
For what? I mean, that's what you're doing. Otherwise, you're going to be another kind of group.
Absolutely.
Because so much of that sharing is evoked through what people experience.
Right. And that's not to say that every other kind of group is bad. There are other kind of good
Absolutely.
Groups. But for us to say we're a group that is seeking the face of God, we right. believe He's present. I mean, we are already stepping into territory that if you... if you have a sense of the reality of the spiritual world, it's not just all pretty.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not all pretty. There is truly conflict. And we want to be protected. We want to be rooted and grounded in.
Right.
We want to be hemmed in the best sense of the word, mm-hmm. by God Himself. And so we just can't trust that if we gather, we'll all have lovely thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and we seek God through Scripture, but God forms us in Scripture. That's
yes.
how we get formed.
Yes.
And also, it connects, I think, in a good way. We tend to be so disconnected from our life of sitting down in the morning and having devotions and reading Scripture to... then we go on and do life. Mm-hmm. Or we go to church on Sunday and we worship and then but in a sense, to have the Scripture in the middle of this process, mm-hmm. once you've connected yourself with God, and then you have the Scripture that speaks the living word into where you've already connected, mm-hmm. and then you go to small group, and now you have to form words that explain how your life and Scripture have just come together, how they're integrated. So it puts the whole, it integrates into life and Scripture.
Thank you, Jill.
Anybody else?
Okay, we're going to, like I said, we'll do the process in our next session. You watched us do peer supervision, which is going further down. We didn't. Let me speak just for a second about the gathered community. Because it's part of the process, but in a sense is its own thing. Jesus lived this amazingly whole, beautiful, seamless life with the Father and then with the disciple that he loved, and then with this group of three, and then with this group of 12, and then with this group of 70, then with the people he was born among, and then with his concern for the sheep from another fold, as he puts it. So he lived with that both, it is smaller here, but it grows larger here. And Lisa spoke so beautifully about that when she talked about the Trinity. You know, that... we have been invited into love that existed from eternity. And that is such a big deal. You know, when I was a little girl in the liberal church I went to, I was taught God was lonely. And so he made me so he'd have somebody to love. And even from a child, I thought that was a really bad idea. Because if you're God and you're lonely, he's somebody delightful to love. As a little girl, I knew I wasn't even that delightful. So, but the love already existed. It's like showing up at the best party of all, and you're just so glad you're there. And that's what it means to be invited into the love of the Trinity. And we want to mirror that in some way. And we're still learning here. We hadn't got it figured out about how, as we come back together as a whole group, the thing we did at the very end, right before 12, how to mirror in that the fact that even though we've spent time alone with God, alone with ourselves, in a small group, we recognize that now we come, so maybe it's part of the reentry process, Mary. Yeah. We come back with this bigger group, and then we leave from here to go to the to where we live in. So what we're trying to do is mirror that. I'm not sure we've got it down. Y'all are doing it. Nancy, do you have any? Of course, you're still with one group.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So you are the gathered community. But anything you all are doing that are it's helping you to mirror that gathered community?
I mean, I think the value, again, is just, you know, they've been in small groups and they realize that the commonality of the experience that they're all having
yeah.
together. And I think sometimes even just the words that are shared are an encouragement, just like they are
yeah.
in the small group.
Well, and I think something to mention in this as well with the gathered community is that year by year, we change the groups. So, and facilitators can be consistent, but we change groups year by year, and that can be a really hard transition to get your brain wrapped around. But why do you think we do that? Why wouldn't we just maintain the same groups, and if we have added people, just kind of put them all together, new people all together, the people who've been a part of it. Like, why would they get to have the same group all the time? They become very inwardly focused.
Yeah. And they could rely on what they think they have experienced and know about each other, as opposed to really listening to the Holy Spirit and lead them as they speak to each other. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's another good point. As we are forming our groups, we intentionally try to not have a lot of prior intimate relationships. So if your best friend and you come to a Journeymates group together, there's very slim chance that you would end up in the small group for that reason. Because we want you to be meeting with each other in as much of an objective format as possible. So we don't have the resumes, our spiritual resumes or otherwise, so we wouldn't want we wouldn't want the relationships within the group to be hindered by a lot of prior knowledge and intimacy. And we also don't want the group to anybody to be disadvantaged or to be left out. So that's something to consider. And I know, like Nancy alluded to this in supervision yesterday, but her group has a very strong history together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's thankful for one new person from out of town. It's what we need. We need to get on the block.
Good.
The other thing, just to finish that up, is there's a sense of of sending us back into the world, which I think is the final piece. So we don't just go back into the world as a small group or an individual, but we go back as this fabulous gathering of the body of Christ, and we end with a blessing.
Yes.
And I think that's so important, and we do that in our small group, but to end with this blessing that sends us out.